God's grace and mercy was definitely felt, and I'm just excited to be here. I hope you all came today as well, ready to worship God. I know some of you may have, come for a word as normal, but really, I really want us to question where we're going from here. Last week was Easter, and we talked about how the disciples responded upon Jesus' death. She mentioned in the opening how the triumphal entry, everyone was celebrating Jesus, and a few days later he was crucified. A lot of emotional ups and downs, needless to say. And then 3 days later he got up with all power in his hands. And at first the disciples didn't know how to take it. They were a little disoriented. So now here we are today. And, God's really been working on me in terms of where I'm going with the ministry and with my life, with Christ living inside of me. What does that mean? What does it look like? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth living inside of Andre Beasley, living inside of each one of you who've surrendered your lives to Christ. What does it look like? And so I'm going to share a little bit today from John and from Acts. And when I was first called to the ministry, I was 15, 16 years old. I studied my Bible when I was bored or when God just felt drawn to it, or maybe I was going through a hard time. And I was studying my Bible and I would read. And something amazing really started to happen is God started to inspire me in my reading. I started to just become inspired. And to kind of give you to define inspired, I would say that God gave me specific insights into the scripture that I felt like wasn't my preacher, great preacher, famous preacher in this city, but he wasn't giving it to me quite like I was getting it directly from God. And I had this relationship with God. And eventually I started to hear in my mind, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was like a voice, and I would hear teach my people. And so at 15, 16 years old, I started to hear this more, teach my people, teach my people. And so God, he was calling me into the ministry, and I didn't really quite understand like what that meant. What should I do? Does it mean I need to get up and preach on Sundays? Do I need to go tell the preacher? Do I need to tell my mama? I didn't know what I needed to do. But what I did was I started studying the word on my own. And for anybody that's ever like tried to like just start, I'm gonna start at Genesis and I'm gonna start studying this thing. I shouldn't have started at Genesis. If you ever decide to like really just take on this journey on your, don't start in the Old Testament. Start in the New Testament and then go back and then study pieces of the Old Testament. Because I got the reading through Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, and I'm like, oh, I had a lot of surprises in the Old Testament. And so needless to say, after a couple of years of studying, I started getting upset with the preacher. I'm like, I asked him. My grandmother forced me to go to Bible study one day. I asked Reverend White. I said, why aren't you teaching that much from the Old Testament? I hear all this New Testament preaching. It's a lot of good stuff in the Old Testament. I can't even remember his answer, but it wasn't sufficient. I didn't like it. So I kept studying and going deeper and deeper. And by the end of a few years of studying the Old Testament, a lot more than I studied the grace and truth of God in the New Testament, needless to say, I was undone. I was broken. I'm like, man, who could live up to all of this stuff? But I continued my journey of faith, and I continued to seek the Lord. I had ups and downs just like everyone else does in their life. And I found, fast forward a few years, I'm in the desert during the war, and through a series of miraculous events, God revealed to me that His power was still in the earth, that He was still active in the lives of His believers. And I was able to share amazing stories with Muslims and other soldiers that were non-believers. And I started to feel like, okay, I'm 25, about to be 26 years old. I guess it's probably time to answer the call that God gave me, about 10 years ago. And so, if you get me through this war, I promise you, when I get home, I'm going to serve you. And, I got out of there unscathed. People around me died. People around me were wounded, but I got out of there. So I got home, and I started serving, right?
Nah.
You know. I did start going to church, though. I did start going to church. And, you know, but I was doing all kinds of things that I shouldn't have been doing. You know, partying. I love going to old Stein up the street, shooting pool and hanging out with my fellas. You know. And, you know, I lived the life of a person that wasn't a Christian, honestly. And I struggled. I'm like, man, God, I thought that, you know, you lived inside of me. Why is this thing so hard for me to do right, to do the things that you want me to do? But I kept striving. And a friend of mine invited me to Friendship Baptist Church. And that's where I started going to church again when I came back home. Started going to Friendship. Had a pretty, very powerful preacher at Friendship. And, you know, I was excited to meet him. And, you know, we were kindred spirits. When he preached, it was like he was speaking directly to me. And I hadn't felt that before, so I kept going and kept going. And eventually, you know, I told my friend, my wife now, you know, I said, you know what? I think I'm about to tell him that I'm called to preach. And I went and told him that I was called to preach. And he didn't respond like I thought he was going to respond. He said three words. I'll never forget those words. And I thank God for them, even though I was upset with him at the time. I was ready to give my everything that I have, I'm ready to give to Christ. And I said, all right, now use me. He said, you need to pray. I'll never forget those words. And my grandfather, my mom, everyone, you need to pray. He said, okay, I'll go pray. So when I went to go pray, I wasn't praying to get closer to God. I wanted to pray like the preachers prayed. I wanted to pray powerful prayers in public. I wanted to heal the sick. I wanted to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel. And I was praying and practicing and doing all of these things. It wasn't good. So a couple years go by and I keep telling him, all right, I'm ready. He said, you need to pray. Keep praying. And by the end of about 2 years of me going to this preacher and saying, okay, I'm called to preach. You know, I should be up in the pulpit with you. I almost lose my life. You know, almost lose my life. And someone pulls a gun out on me. And, you know, it was an eye-opening experience. And needless to say, and having been in the war, you know, you would think that I was ready for it, but I wasn't ready for the pistol being pointed at me point blank range. And at that moment, I had to wrestle in my mind with one simple question. Am I ready to see him today? And I did. Like, that was the question that it was in my mind. It was strong. It was very strong. I said, am I ready to see him today? And it was devastating because I felt like I didn't have a choice whether I was going to see him or not. But if I can be honest with you, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to look him in his eyes. I wasn't ready to this is my life, this is what I did with it. Having the knowledge and the revelation that God gave me at 15, 16 years old, and looking back from 28 at the time back to 15, I'm like, oh no, not today. I came out of that circumstance, obviously, because I'm here standing before you today. But the very next day, I called my pastor, I said, look, time is now. Time is now. He said, all right, I want you to go pray. He said, if you after you pray and you still on Sunday and you feel led to come up before the congregation and tell them that God called you to preach, I want you to do that. And I did. I'm like, you were there. And the journey began, right? It's been a long journey since then. And so, from that day forward, and since, I've been studying this thing called Christian discipleship. What it means to be a follower of Christ. The Spirit of God is telling me to pray. I'm going to pray before I keep going into the text. I'm going to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share parts of my life and also Scripture. Father God, because God, you're just amazing. You never cease to amaze me. The circumstances that you bring us through, the trials, Lord God, that seem like they're going to undo us, God, that You're in our midst. And God, we exalt You, we lift You up, God. We bring You praise this morning, Father God. Oftentimes we come looking to receive, God, but we bring You a gift of praise this morning, Heavenly Father. I stretch my hands to You. I stretch my heart to You. God, I lay my mind down and my desires, God, down before You now. And I just pray that You would bless us in this time that we have together. God, help me to extrapolate and to bring forth the Word, God, that You've given me. Help me to make it plain to them, Father. Because I can't do it without You. Holy Spirit, we need You to be the teacher today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I started this journey on Christian, studying Christian discipleship. Like, what does it look like? It's got to be more than Sundays. Got to be. My mom will tell you, I've been on this for a long time. It's got to be more than Sundays. Fairhaven's got to be more than Sunday. I need you more than on Sunday. I'm going to tell you right now, I need you more than on Sunday. And I've been saying this for many, many, many years. And as I study the Bible and different books about the history of the church, I'm going to say it. And I'm saying it with grace, and I'm saying it because it's true. The church isn't doing all that it's supposed to be doing. And I'm not talking about programs. Forget programs. I ain't talking about programs. We need to volunteer in the community for programs. There's a specific thing that we're going to look at today in the text. After the Holy Spirit was sent to live inside of Christians, Moses brought the law. John chapter 1 verse 17 says Moses brought the law. You don't have to turn there. Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. So today I enter into this talk because it's going to be, I'm going to bring you to the edge today. If you go with me on this journey, I'm going to bring you to the edge today. I'm going to challenge you. I'm just letting you know. But I'm saying it with grace and truth. I bring it in the spirit of grace and truth. It's not to condemn you. It's not to condemn myself. I bring it in the spirit of grace and truth. Because the fact of the matter is, think about this for a second. I want to read. Turn with me to John 14 real quick. John 14, 12. I want to paint this as a backdrop. John 14, chapter 14, verse 12. I want to paint, and I'm in the New King James today. I brought my favorite Bible today, you know. And so I want to paint this backdrop. This is very shortly before Jesus died. Very shortly before He died. And so think about it. If you were about to leave the earth and those that you love were around you, you would give them some specific information. You would say the things that really, really, really matter. And so Jesus here in chapter 14 is about to teach them about the Holy Spirit. And it's a specific truth that I want you to take with you today. I hope you got your pencils today because it's some things in here that's good. I'm so glad that God allowed me to study this because there's some good stuff in here. He gave us some steps, Chris. He gave us some specific steps on how to take our lives, our personal ministry, and our church ministry to the next level. He gave us some specific steps today, and oh man, it's good. So chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus is talking. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I told my wife this the other day. I'm like, wait a minute, baby. We married. We both believe in Jesus. We're supposed to be praying in Jesus' name for everything that we need, for all of our needs, for all of the church's needs. We got to start praying. We pray sometime. We pray sometimes. No, we need to pray all the time. Because when two or more are gathered in His name, He's in their midst. And He says, whatever you ask in my name, that's what it says right here. Whatever you ask, that's in accordance with my will. Whatever you ask, that's in accordance with my plan. Whatever you ask, that's in accordance with this word He says, it will. He said, I'll do it. I will do it. That's what Jesus said. He said, it, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Truth. Remember, grace and truth. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now get this. I was just telling my wife as I was coming up to the church today. I said, imagine this, babe. If I passed away, no one knows me like her. Nobody. Even my mom. Nobody knows me like Beth knows me. If I passed away and then I came and lived inside of her, she would know it was me. Because she understands how the way I look at things, the way I speak about things, the way I do things. And if my thoughts and my ways like arose inside of her spirit, she'd be like, that's Andre. Like, I don't know how I know it's Andre, but it is. Because Andre would say something like that. Andre would do something like that. Well, the disciples had that same experience. Jesus lived on the earth. He did all of these miraculous things. He died, was resurrected, then he ascended, and he said, when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to send you a helper. And you're going to know him because he's with you now. But then he will be inside of you. We got to look at the weight. We got to ask ourselves a question. If the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us, that's what the Word teaches. Everybody good? We good with that? The Spirit of truth, Jesus Christ in his Spirit lives inside of every believer. He lives inside of every believer. I'm telling you, he lives inside of every believer. It's something that's supernatural that should be taken place. There's a huge difference between the first church that was led by the apostles and the church that we see today. We come in church today, music not working. I understand frustrations, been there. Especially when we're the ones that's supposed to be putting on the show. I've been there. But you know what? I was clapping on the inside because I'm like, God, we need your Spirit today. We don't need no sound system. We don't need sound system today. It was perfect timing for me. Because you know what? The first church didn't have a sound system except this right here. And it exploded. So I'm like, okay, what do we need to go with this, God? If you live inside of me, shouldn't I be experiencing something supernatural? Shouldn't I be experiencing power? Shouldn't I be able to do... It says... Most assuredly, I say to you, verse 12, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. And I'm like, man, God, I'm looking at my life. I ain't doing the stuff he was doing. I'm doing some of it. I'm not doing it. I don't feel it. You know, I'm like, where's that? So what was the difference between that church and us? A couple things. First of all, the word church. That's one thing. I'm going to get there in a second. That was a huge difference. The word church was a huge difference. But this is the thing. Today we focus on teaching. The church right now centers around teaching. Like, well, Andre, it's truth. You gotta teach truth. Yes, you do, but that wasn't their focus. Most of them didn't have Old Testament. The Bibles that they had were in synagogues. They didn't walk around with Bibles like we have today. It's not what it was. You know how the first church spread so quickly? They saw a risen Savior. They saw Him! And then they felt Him. You felt Him when you was up here teaching. I saw it. You felt Him on the inside. You felt the preaching power. I seen it coming in you. And I was praying with you. I seen it. And then I could feel you too. So because I can feel you, I know that what God talks about, our unity, the unity of the faith. Like when I hear, like right now, like I feel connected to you. I feel it. And if you pay attention, you can feel it too. And I'm like, man, that's the proof right there that he's actually, what he said, what he promised is true. That was the difference. They weren't going off of teaching. They saw Jesus. And because get this, they were still under persecution. They just crucified Jesus. 40 days later, the Spirit is poured out. And now they're going around preaching power, and we're about to finish this story in Acts. It's going to blow your top. Is he risen? We say it, but is he risen? Is he risen in you? Has he poured out his spirit inside of you? That's the question that you got to ask yourself. Then that word church, and then I'm going to get into the text, I promise. That word church, I'm going to surprise you. She said, man, the English language doesn't quite do what we need it to do, and she is so right. She is so right, because you know what? In the Greek, the way that we talk about church, it's not in there. They have synagogues. They call them synagogues. But when we see the word church, it's a Greek word that is ecclesia. Ecclesia is the Greek word. Whenever you see church in the New Testament, it's ecclesia. And ecclesia is a word that means assembly or congregation for a specific purpose. It's not just any gathering of people. It's a gathering of people for a specific purpose. It wasn't even a religious term. It was a term for militaries. It was a term for governments. It was a term that was just used loosely, ecclesia. We go to a building that we call a church, but that's not what it's talking about in here. So I'm upset that they even translated it like this. And all the translators that have translated it from the Greek to the Latin to English, they didn't agree with the use of the word church in this place, because it comes from a German word. I like to call it Kirch, but it's Kirche. And that was a building. Somewhere along the line, I know when it happened, it was Constantine, he did it. Somewhere along the line, the church like got away from what we're doing right here, right now, and it became this building that we go to in a set of rituals and plans that we follow, but everything should be done in decent and in order. For sure. But not to... We've lost it. Something happened when we got this building mixed up with the church of God. The people, the believers, the assembly of believers who have been assembled for one purpose. So that Christ's hands and feet would be in the world. That we would be able to seek and save the lost. It's a difference. The Spirit of God lives in us. So the key text for today is Acts chapter 3. And I'm pumped today. I'm pumped. Acts chapter 3. I've been pacing the floors all yesterday, day before yesterday, and this morning I've been pacing. Mom, know how I get when I get to pacing. Preaching myself into a frenzy. So Acts chapter 3, here we go. It's good. Good. I'm going to read through. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. All right. Holy Spirit, help me preach this thing. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. We're looking at one of the first recorded miracles or signs of the church. The Spirit of God has been poured out. 300 souls have just come to Christ days before this. Peter and John are now headed to the temple to pray. See, Jews, they prayed three times a day. More than that, but they prayed specifically three times a day. And they were headed there for one of those prayers. Some key truths that I want you to see here in the text is that Jesus is still alive and active. He is. You have certain churches that are preaching that the power that the apostles had is dead, but I don't know, maybe in America, I don't know, because it's happening differently in other parts of the world. And maybe it's like, you know, like when Jesus went home to Nazareth and people didn't really believe. He said, I can only do a handful of miracles there because the faith there was just so, you know, and maybe that's why we think the power isn't here. He's still alive and active today, and people don't believe Jesus is alive and active because they don't see the power. It's the power that it's the power of the disciples. It's the unity of the disciples. That's not Jesus. I seen a post on Facebook the other day. They said, these are the bones of King Tut. Where are the bones of Jesus? Bones of Jesus? And they were trying to make ain't no bones of Jesus. You know, it's just crazy. He's working through his followers. So two things that I want you to take from this. Jesus is alive and active today. Today. I pray today that his power will be manifested in this place. Amen. I did. I pray that he would allow me to see it or be a part of it, that his power would today. I prayed. Pray with me, brother. I'm telling you. Pray with me. I'm asking for it. God, please. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to be a part of the movement. Don't do it without me. Jesus is now working through his followers. He's working through his followers. He's working through you. He worked through you this morning. He worked through you this morning. He's working. I'm telling you, he's working through us. And so there's some ways that we can align ourselves with that power. There's some ways that there's some things that we can do. Because in every relationship, it's not one-sided. Anybody ever been in a one-sided relationship? And like, it's so many people that enter into this relationship with God and it's one-sided. Like, God, I'm just going to wait on you to do everything. That doesn't work. You know it doesn't. There's things that only God can do. But then there's things that only we can do. God can do whatever he wants, but he kind of set these rules in place where hands and feet have to do a lot of stuff. And we're the only hands and feet that he has. We're the only eyeballs that he has, you know, here on the earth. And he set this in place. He wants us to join him in the work.
Come on, open it up.
He said, unless a kernel of wheat falls and dies, he remains a single seed. But if he goes down and he dies, then you produce much fruit. So he went down, he died, he raised up, and now he poured out his spirit upon us, and now we get to join him. He's still active. So here we go. I'm going to get into this in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together. How many Lone Rangers we got out here? We got some Lone Rangers. I love being around people. I love being in small groups. I love being in front of people preaching. But I had not even a friend, just kind of like somebody on the periphery of my life who I feel like he's a brother. But, you know, kind of, you know, lives a different lifestyle. He texted me yesterday, and it's been something in my spirit that I can't turn my back on this guy. Like, regardless of all the crazy stuff he's done, like, I always feel obligated to respond to him, be it text or phone call, whatever it is. And I'm leaving a little workshop that I taught yesterday, and he texted me, and we had this back and forth that we never have before. And because I'm studying this, I'm like, you know, I got to get beyond myself. I got to. Like, I got to start just being like Jesus, you know what I'm saying, to people. And so I'm speaking to this guy, and he says something to me that blows me away. He was like, you know, I was telling him my sister lived with me, so, you know, I've been kind of busy, you know. And he's like, oh, man, your sister lived with you? That's crazy because I know how private you are. And I was like, private? Like, that's an interesting way to, to, to characterize me. Like, I don't see myself as a private person. And I texted them that, and my mom said no. You know, I let it all hang out. You know, if you know me, you know. And so so I texted them back. I said, that's an interesting way of characterizing me. You know, I've never heard anybody call me private before. And he expounded on what he meant. And, you know, it was fine, but it was interesting because I started talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know what? I started looking at my behaviors. I have been kind of private. I have been acting like a lone ranger. I can use all of these excuses why I'm a lone ranger. I got 5 kids. Well, 1 grown now. My wife works second shift. Now my sister and her baby live with me. I'm glad they're there. I love it. All right. I work hard. You know, I can use all of these different excuses. I was in school. Doesn't give me, I've been a lone ranger. I ain't been shining the light enough. Just haven't. And the young man coming here, obviously he's been to Fairhaven before. I seen him go back there, Spirit of God. Boom, go talk to him. In my mind, that's Spirit of God. Spirit of God told me to come talk to you, period. Are we in that place? So it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. God works through those who are faithful in prayer. If you have a pencil, you need to jot these down, because we have specific instructions, Chris, today from God on how to see the power. Oh, God, please, your power, please. Please, God, your power today, God. Not me, God, you. Your power today, God. Your power today. I'm telling you, please, I'm telling you, I'm begging that the power come, man. I'm telling you, I feel it. I'm begging that it comes today. Because somebody here, I need the power. And I've been walking. I'm feeling the preaching power, but I want more power. I want to experience more of it. Somebody here today needs what this lame man got. God works through those who are faithful in prayer. Simple, right? But are we doing it? Man, we come in here sometimes focused on knowledge, but let's like put knowledge like secondary, and like let's look at our actual behavior. Only you can analyze yourself in this. Are you praying? Forget the 3 times a day thing. Are you praying like you know you ought to pray? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. Are you praying for the things that God wants you to pray for? Are you praying with another believer who has that same faith, that same mind? Are you doing it? For answer for me was no. Okay, so now I had to, boop, need to do this. Add this to my spiritual and personal development plan. Okay, no. Let's keep reading. And a certain lame man. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, look at us. Now, so God works through those who are looking. For those who are in desperate need. Are you looking? You got to tell me, just you and God, you and the Spirit. Are you, I'm talking every day. No. Forget the clothes signs unless you're going to be with God in your prayer time. Like, are we looking for those who are in need? Individuals. Forget the church. The church. I'm talking you as an individual. Because if we're not experiencing the power, it could be because we're not praying. And it could be because He didn't just give us the power to just go outside and I'm flying now. You know, He didn't give us that type of power. He gave the power for a specific purpose. And if we're not looking for that purpose, if we're not looking to use the power in the way that God gave it to us, no power. It's there. Are you looking? They were headed to pray. They saw the man and they responded. So God works through those who look and see the desperate needs of the people. This man, lame from his birth, he's unable to work. Someone carried him to the beautiful gate. Guaranteed, the people who, it doesn't say this in the text, but I'm believing. Think about the people who are on the corners around Fort Wayne. I used to be the guy who gave them money. I did all the time. Anything I had in my cup holder, or if I had a few dollars in my wallet, you know, I'd pull them up, give it to them. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I was the same way. And now, like, I don't. But it's funny because every time I see one of them, this wrestling starts inside of my heart. I don't know if anybody else like experiences this. But every time like I pull up to an entrance to one of these plazas where they're waiting at, like a wrestling begins. And some days I just try like kind of keep, I'm just being real. You know, I kind of keep looking straight so I don't see them because they're like standing there with this sign. And then I have all of these things that go through my mind that kind of like, man, you might have a Benz around the corner. Not a lot of them, but onesies and twosies, I know for sure they did a special one or they did. And then my wife shed some insight on me one day. She's a police officer, sorry. You know, she don't like me, you know, I tell people, but it's okay. They already know. She told me that drug dealers basically almost kidnap these people and say, look, you owe me money, get over here on this corner. You ain't got no job. Stand on this corner and make some money and pay me my money. And the drug dealers are kind of like hovering around the city watching all the people who, I'm like, whoa. So that changes the perspective a little bit, right? Oh man, mess me up. If you don't, I know where your family live. I'm going to take them out. I'm like, whoa. Changes perspective a little bit. But I'm still wrestling. I'm like, I ain't giving no drug dealer my money either. You know what I'm saying? I ain't giving him no money. I ain't giving drug dealer no money. And so, you know, you're not lame. You can work. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. But as I'm reading through this, right now it's talking about a lame man. His ankles and his lower extremities, they don't work. Since birth, and he's been that way, but these people are carrying him to this place. He's unable to work. And I'm starting to like, is this about a lame man or is this about me? Is this about you? Is this about people who can't get out of bed this morning because they're struggling with depression or addiction or substance abuse? Is this about people who I'm walking by every day waiting on me to see them and respond to them? I'm like, who is this lame man? Is it me? Is it you? Am I even seeing them? In my family, am I seeing them in my family? Am I seeing them in my school? And how am I responding to them? If I'm not prayed up, I ain't gonna have the strength or the energy or the wherewithal. I'm not. It's essential that we pray. It's essential that we link up with those. Man, we gotta be together on this thing. You at least need one other, but we need more one others. We need groups of people to do this thing. We got to look for those people who are suffering. Guaranteed, this person was often ignored. Anybody in here feel like they've been ignored before? By everybody? By everyone. The people that matter most. He's at the gate to the temple. It's not the gate to the city. The beautiful gate was the gate going into the temple. This is a triple gate. You were seen as righteous when you gave alms to the poor. So he was in the right place at the right time. And the people who probably brought him, they probably wanted a cut too. Man, we carried you all the way over here, man. Need a little bit of that. He wasn't even looking up at Peter. That's why Peter said, look at us. He was ashamed. He was embarrassed. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever felt like God was calling you to something else, or there was something more to your life, but it just felt like you just couldn't get up. And like, as far back as you look, as far back as you can think, this thing, this thorn in your flesh has always been there. My prayer this morning was that God would send the power today. That thing that's keeping you lame, that's keeping you stuck, that's keeping you feeling embarrassed, that's preventing you from looking somebody into the eye and telling them that you love them, that's preventing you from going to get that job that you know you deserve, that's preventing you from reconciling that relationship with your kid, that's preventing you from serving in the church. Like, whatever it is that's been hindering you and holding you back all of this time from being the person, my prayer today is that the Spirit of God, Jesus of Nazareth, please, God, we want your power today. Verse 4, he said, fixing his eyes on him. Jesus works through those. Write this down. I got to cover it today. I got to. Jesus works through those who fix their eyes on the problem. He didn't just see it. See, I see the people. I've been averting my attention. Are you averting your attention? Or are you seeing them and then turn away? No, that's too hard. That's too hard. When Jesus was out preaching to the masses, and the disciples came to him and said, man, they're hungry. Jesus, go ahead and send them back to the city so they can get some food. Jesus said, no, you feed them. All we have is some bread and a couple of fish. Like, how are we going to feed them? Jesus, I don't know. I don't have no degree in ministry. I do, but you know, some people, Jesus, I don't have this. Jesus, I'm just a little old person. I'm a sinner, Jesus. I can't do this stuff. God, I barely got food for my own family. God, I don't have time. I got to take care of these babies. It's all of these different things. Jesus said, no, you feed them. Ooh, and I love in one of the Gospels, he said, bring it to me. Ooh-wee, y'all better feel the heat on that thing. He said, bring it to me. Bring to me what you have and watch what I'm going to do with this thing. He said, bring it to me. Are you looking? Are you praying? Have you fixed your eyes? And I love the Greek is atenesis. It means a continuous and intense, steadfast focus. Man, I'm seriously. I'm evaluating myself. I'm looking at my life, man. Do I have an intense, steadfast, and continuous focus? Am I fixing my eyes on these desperate needs? People who are, man, it's people that's desperate. Guaranteed, if you go home this week, throughout this week, and you search with your eyes and with your heart, those who are in desperate need of Christ, they're going to show up. They're going to show up. They're going to start popping up everywhere. If we just focus our eyes on them, if we fix our attention. So God works through those who pray consistently. God works through those who are looking and on the lookout for those who are in desperate need. God works through those who fix their attention. When that need does come into focus, are you turning away or are you fixing your attention on them? But this is God, please, your power today. God, please, your power today. Verse 4 again. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. When you go and you see this person, meet them where they are. Bring them up by getting them to look at you. Feel me now. Because they're not going to feel like looking at you. They're not going to feel like exposing themselves to you. They're going to feel like they're going to be nervous. If you've ever interacted with someone who's lame in mind, body, or spirit, because it's deeper than just, he's lame mind, body, and spirit. And if you've ever dealt with somebody who was lame in any one of those areas, they weren't functioning the way that God created. God gave them legs. They just didn't work the way that they were designed to work. God gave some people a mind. It's just not working the way that God intended it to work. God gave them a mouth, but it's just not working the way that God intended it to work. So when you come in contact with them, do you have the authority from God? Do you have the confidence in Him and His power to look at them and say, look at me? Not just the words, look at me, but to draw them into you. Remember, it's not you, it's the Spirit. Jesus is living in you. It says, look at us. So He gave them His attention, expecting to receive something from them. Please, God, your power. Then Peter said, silver and gold, I do not have none. Silver and gold, I do not have. Silver and gold. See, the thing is, he's asking for one thing. The guy on the street, he's asking for money, but he don't need money. He needs Jesus. You're going to have people come into your life asking for one thing, but God is going to give you discernment, and it's going to say, that ain't what you need. You're going to know. It's not that you just say you really need Jesus. That ain't what Peter said now. Because that's going to make them turn the other way. But you have to have the discernment to know, that's what they really need. God's going to give you that discernment. He says, silver and gold I have. The world says that he needs silver and gold. The world is going to tell us, oh, church, these are the needs that you're supposed to be meeting. But God knows the specific needs. God knows today the specific needs that you need. It looks like a car. It looks like a house. It looks like silver and gold. But God knows the specific need that you have today. And He knows the needs of those you're going to come across. I'm praying that you take this thing and run with this thing. Because I'm telling you what, this seed right here, if this seed right here just goes and does this stuff, I'm telling you, worldwide news. Worldwide news! I'm telling you, you got to understand, this is Jesus the Christ. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep on saying this thing. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. Oh my goodness, y'all. Oh my goodness, Jesus, please. I know, I'm just praying. I ain't worried. I'm telling you, Jesus, He got me today. Hard week and everything, like, I got you. He's like, I'm not counting your sins against you. I've forgiven you as far as the east is to the west. There's all of these things that's holding you back. I just need you to walk. I just need you to be you. And I need you to let me flow through you. Open up your eyes. Keep praying. God works through those who reach out. Look at verse 7. Excuse me, verse 6. I didn't finish it. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. He brought some spiritual power. Forget your resources. Because your little loaves of fish, your loaves of bread and your two fish, that's all God needs. You just bring the little bit that you have. You don't have to have silver and gold. You don't have to have all the time. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the knowledge. God is going to take the specific things that you have, and if you are willing to give it to meet the specific needs of the people that you come across, this is what's going to happen. He says, in the name of Jesus, in the power and authority that's been invested in me, in the name of Jesus. Mike, you can walk into any circumstance, and if God reveals a need to you, you can say, you ain't even got to say it out loud, but I say that you should. In the name of Jesus. Like, I ain't even been hearing Christians saying it around me anymore. Forget just that church. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you today. In the name, oh my goodness, I feel the power. It's coming. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man, his legs didn't work, but it might be somebody's mind. It might be somebody's emotions. It might be somebody's circumstance in their relationship. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. This is a word that was spoken. First, he spoke the word. Who needs the spoken word in your life today? Who needs that confidence that emanates from you? Who needs that from you? You go to them today, not tomorrow. You take this word and you look at them. You have them look at you. You say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are a minister before God. Use the power that God has given you. You don't need nobody's permission. You don't need nobody's permission to do it. Nobody, brother. Man, nobody. It's not a position. It's not a laying of hands. It's in the name of Jesus over your son's life. In the name of Jesus. In your wife's life. In the name of Jesus. In your daughter's life. In the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. God gave us this power. My brother, in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. I'm glad you're here today. Rise up and walk. I declare to you that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That He brought you here today to meet me so that I can speak this word of power to you. Inside of you is a seed that you feel stirring in your soul. And if you just surrender your life to Christ and allow Him to move in you, He will do things that you can't even imagine, my brother. This ain't about me. This ain't about Fairhaven. This is about you and Jesus. He brought you here today. No matter what your circumstances are, He brought you here today. He has the power to undo and redo everything that you're going through, brother. Everything. Jesus. 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 Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So He spoke the word first. And are we speaking the word? My mom has been saying that to me for years. Speak the word, son, over your circumstances. I wrote down a prayer list at home, and I just can't wait to just start marking him off. Because I've been praying, and like it's just stuff is manifesting. And anybody got some prayers? I'll put it on my list. God's been answering my prayers for a long time. I'm telling you, write them down. I'm telling you, write them. He answering them. This is the season. I don't know if you feel the power. I feel the power. I feel the power. I've been feeling it for a couple days now. You know what I'm saying? This is just like the outflow of what's been going on. Circumstances ain't even changed yet. God said, speak to that thing, man. He said, speak to it. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk, brother. But He didn't just speak. Get me now. We talk about specific instructions, right? And He took him by the right hand. My brother, remember? He took him by the right hand. He spoke to him. He declared in the name of Jesus to rise and walk. And He took him by the hand. God works through those who are willing to reach out. So you see, you have that compassion, you pray, you fix your attention on that circumstance. God, when you fix your attention, it's something that's going to happen. God is going to start to stir something inside of you if He can get your attention long enough. He's going to give you a word of truth. Speak that word just like God spoke to that fig tree. Speak that word to that thing. And then reach your hand out. I promise you, I promise you that if you start doing that, you will start to see supernatural power in your life. Supernatural circumstances. You will come in here ready to preach just like I'm preaching right now. Because God is going to move and I'm telling you, He's ready. It's right. As you see the enemy rising up in the world today, I know you see him just like I do. Man, you can't beat God. The battle's already won. Man. Speak to it. Reach out to it. God works through those who reach out. As we leave here today, ask yourself, what does it mean to be the church? Not just Fairhaven. You're a member of a larger body of believers that all you have this power too. that I'm like what I'm doing now, everybody in here, if you connect with God in the right circumstances, it ain't about getting up here with a microphone. If you, in the right circumstances, you have the power to say, rise in the name of Jesus, by His power, by His authority, in the name of Jesus. I asked for this freedom and this power. He didn't give me this freedom and this power. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you that your body, your mind, your soul is going to be healed in the name of Jesus. Not my power, but by God's power. I declare to you today, healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Healed in the name of Jesus. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think of you. God has something special for you. I'm telling you, you've been on my mind. He has something special for you and your ministry. Come up here with no paper no more and let God tell you too. You speak from the heart to these people. You get up here and sing because you know Jesus. The feeling inside of you. I don't know where this is going in terms of like where are we going as a church, as a group of believers. But let us strive to be the church. Forget the building. Forget the sound system. Forget all the programs. It ain't even about that. We got to go out here. We got to pray. We got to link up. We got to speak the word of truth into these circumstances. And we got to allow the Spirit of God to use us in those circumstances. And we're going to feel the power. We're going to be the church. We got to be on the lookout for where God's compassion is needed today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your love and for your compassion today, God. Your word, your word, your word, God, is truth. God, we fall very short of where you have called us to be, God. But that's why I love you, because you brought grace and truth. God, we thank you for the truth that we've witnessed, and we thank you for the grace and mercy that you've given. But now, God, I ask for myself and for whoever else is here, God, I want to be used by you, God. I want to experience the supernatural power that you have so this world can know and see and believe that you are King, that you rose from the dead with all power, God. With all power. In your hands. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. God, we praise you. We lift you up. We magnify your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll be having sermon discussion in a few minutes downstairs, and thank you, Andre. You gave us a lot to think about, and one of the big things that stuck out to me is when God calls our name, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to not ignore that little thing that He's telling us to take a closer look at, because it's so easy to just, oh, yeah, I'll think about that later. But when you were talking about Peter calling the man at the gate, look at me, I think that's something for us to remember when God is calling us to look at Him. All right, you're dismissed.
Beginning of time. When all part of reference spoke to the dark, fleshed out the wonder of